Now we're ready to have someone share their thoughts with us. And this is a man that I've known for quite a few years. His daughters were just about high as the back of those chairs when I met him. And, of course, brought his wife, so I met his wife at the same time, too. Now, and his... Stop it. I read your thoughts, didn't I? Now, and he's loved by everybody, and he loves working with children, and he loves working with healing. And he's retired from the Navy, so he's got enough time on his hands that he gets to do what he enjoys doing. And that's working with children and healing. And everybody loves him. Everybody. So if you don't know him already, you're going to fall in love with our Fred.
Well, I hope you all fall in love with me and not fall asleep tonight. Millie asked me last month to speak at Wednesday Night Forum, and I already knew what I was going to talk about because my healing guides had told me in the summer that I would be speaking sometime this year and suggested what I should talk about when Millie asked me. And what I'm going to talk about is the insights that I've gained through my healing work and my journey. But the purpose isn't to focus attention on me, but rather on everybody in here who is an aspiring healer, so that you can be know what the possibilities are as you go along your path as a healer, and also the importance. For everybody here, the importance of energy awareness and how thoughts and feelings can affect your energy field. I started out as I first came to the church in 1981 and took the healing class in 1982. That was my introduction to healing. And I was so excited when I could feel that energy. And that excitement has never died. In fact, it's grown quite a bit. It's just a year ago, or almost a year ago, I just finished my certification as a healing touch practitioner. And I'm a volunteer at Rady's Children's Hospital and primarily work with severely handicapped kids. A little bit about healing touch. Healing touch is it's an energy modality, kind of like Reiki and therapeutic touch. It's has about 30 techniques, and it was started in 1989 by a registered nurse by the name of Janet Menken, who started the Healing Touch program, and it was intended for hospitals and clinics to come up with a certification process, some classes, and a certification process, and a documentation process for healing. So it was meant to work with integrative medicine with the health community, with the medical community. It's based on the work of Barbara Ann Brennan, and I don't know if anyone's heard of Barbara Brennan before, but she was a physicist at NASA who was very sensitive to the human energy field and how it could be manipulated and whatnot with intention. And she wrote two very fantastic books called Hands of Light and Light Emerging. And she also started a school of energy healing in Boca Raton, Florida, and which is still ongoing. In healing touch, there's five levels of instruction. The first three levels are to teach students what the human energy field is all about, the techniques that are available to use for different issues that come up in the human energy field to promote energy flow and increase the vibration rate of the energy. And also there's level 4 and 5, which is for students who want to go on and become a certified practitioner. The way that healing touch works pretty much is that the healer assesses the energy field and for energy disruptions and weak areas, and then works with the client to restore the energy flow and to the human energy field. Once the work is done, the energy field is re-examined again, and to make sure that all the energy is flowing through the body well, and the vibration is increased. And like any form of energy healing, energy flow and vibration are restored, and it allows the client to heal themselves. So when somebody's an energy healer, I think healer is really somewhat of a misnomer, because what you're doing when you do energy work with somebody is you're giving them the power, you're empowering them to heal themselves. When I first got involved in healing touch, I was getting ready to leave the Navy, and I set the intention with my guides to get involved in something that was more meaningful with healing, and that was in 2008. It took nearly a year and a half, and it came from my guidance in such a way that I'm inclined to share this with you. I was in the airport in Charlottesville, Virginia. I was flying back to San Diego, and there was a woman in front of me who was in her 90s, who was also going to be flying. And she, in the TSA line, she handed her documents to the TSA people, and they weren't the right documents, and they weren't very kind to her. So I told her to step aside, and I helped her go through her documents, got her boarding passes ready. And I asked her when her flight was boarding, and it was boarding before mine. So I said, well, I'll sit with you until your flight boards. So we sat down, and we chatted for a bit, and then there was a silent moment. And she turned to me, and she said, you are a natural healer. She says, what you need to do is you need to go on the Internet and look for Healing Touch International. She says, it's Healing Touch International, and they have classes. So you sign up for a level one class. So this was in March of 2010. I got home, and I thought, well, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I'm looking for. And I Googled Healing Touch International, got the website, and sure enough, there was a class in 1 month, in April, and it was at Children's Hospital in San Diego. And I thought, well, if there's an opening in this class, then this was it. This is the message. Sure enough, there was an opening. And I took the Healing Touch Level 1 in April of 2012 or 2010, and Levels 2 and 3 over the next 2 years. And during that time, in the meantime, about a month or two after it took Level 1, they started a volunteer program there. And in the volunteer program, they let us work on staff, on hospital staff, and they let us work on children's families, the patients' families. But we couldn't work on the patients. And there's something to do with insurance requirements and stuff like that. It wasn't nothing against the Healing Touch people, really. But then there was a special group of patients that weren't getting any volunteer support. And these were the kids, the severely handicapped kids, in the Helen Bernardi Center for Medically Fragile Children. Most of these children cannot communicate. Most of them are either in a bed or in a wheelchair or some kind of apparatus because they can't move around on their own. And we started working with them. Both Shirley and I did. As we got to working with them and knowing the staff and knowing the kids, and I felt very strongly, and I used to say that I know at some level we're touching these kids. Now, we can't get a reaction. We're not much of a reaction, maybe a tear, or they would fall asleep while we're doing the work. But I said, I know at some deeper level we've got to be reaching them, and I wish I could get some feedback. Well, it just so happened about a year after we started working with the kids, I was going into a, a meditative state to connect with my healing guides. And I felt this energy around me, an excitement, and got into a higher state of awareness. And my son, I have a son who's deceased. He died in 1984. His name is Jason. And Jason was waiting for me. I got into this higher state of awareness, and he was so excited. And he wanted me to come with him, and I went with him. And he took me to where the higher consciousness of all these kids were. And all these kids were showing me the things, the little things that I was doing for them, and how much they appreciated. And they just showered me with unconditional love and gratitude and just turned me to pulp. And to top it off, my son's next to me, and I can just feel the pride that he had for me. And I always felt that because I got led to Children's Hospital and got to work with these kids, I always felt that my son had something to do with it, and that was the confirmation. Such a beautiful thing. But what happened about a month after that, I was in church on Sunday, got a reading from Reverend Rita, and she said something to the effect that I see that your healing practice is really going to grow in leaps and bounds. And I thought, well, I need to talk to her because I think maybe she's picking up what just happened. This was, it just happened a month ago. And so after the service, I went up and spoke to her and I told her the story. And she patiently listened and she thought for a moment, something like that, as far as I remember. And then she said, no, I think there's something else coming up. And I was a little bit skeptic. I didn't think that was even possible. However, it's about 4 months after that I had decided, well, I'd taken levels 1 through 3, and I thought that would be plenty for me and for Healing Touch. I'm working with these kids and working with people. I connected really well. I could sense their energy field. I could clear bad energy. I could identify relatives. Sometimes we have relatives in our energy field who are there in love, and I can identify them. And although they didn't let me talk about it in the hospital, but I could do that. And I felt like I was whole and complete as a healer, and that's all I needed to know. When I decided that I wanted to go on and be a certified Healing Touch practitioner, it was about 4 months after that. And part of the requirements of being a certified practitioner is that you have to do at least 100 sessions and fully document the sessions, from an interview to treatment, why you chose the treatment, what the result was, and how the client fared afterwards. In the process of these, I felt a strengthening of my connection with guidance, and my skills just started blossoming. The first thing I noticed, and I don't even know how it came about, but I started tuning in to the client the night before that they showed up the next day for an appointment. And I could pick up things about their energy, and I'd write it down. I'd pick up things about the energy, what I felt about the energy and what I felt that I needed to do. And they would come in the next day for the interview, and everything that we talked about during the interview, I was able to confirm. And I thought, wow. it just amazed me. And it just went on like that. From then on, I started working with the clients before they even got there. And the next thing was, we have different energy fields, and when you work in higher energy fields, we all have these what I call light beings, because that's how I perceive them. But I think they're our guardian angels, and I could tell you I have proof of guardian angels, because when I work in the higher energy fields, these light beings, they come and they show me, or they, I just, they show me, I feel the love that these angels have for this person that I'm working on. Not only the love, but I feel a sense of a protective, they protect them, and then I feel they're opening up and giving me permission to work in these energy fields on these people with amazing results. And just about, it was almost a year ago, my healing guides told me that I had the ability to tune into people's vibration level, and that I could tell when I'm working with somebody what rate they're vibrating at, and what rate they are capable of vibrating at, and what the difference is, and why they're not vibrating at the rate they should be vibrating at, and how to fix it. So I've incorporated that into my healing, and I mean these are all things that I never anticipated could ever be possible. And the kind of things, like to give you an example, there may be somebody whose vibration rate is down and they're in a bad relationship. And maybe it's a relative. Like I could tell if it's a relative, if it's a friend, if that person is holding any ill will towards them, whatever it is in the field, and I can clear that. And it's just amazing. It amazes me every time it happens, every time I do it. The things that I come up with amazes me. It's like I've had it come up at least three or four times with people where there was a ghost in their house. And the ghost was sucking off their energy. Sometimes they were aware of it. They were aware of a presence and didn't tell me, or sometimes they did. Other times they weren't aware. But after we worked and after we did the energy work, it was gone. So I don't know. I don't know how it works, but it works. And it just amazes me. And this is the other part of with the energy field is... it's just the awareness of all your dealings with people and whatnot, and everything that you experience in terms of stress, tension, how you feel about yourself. That's another thing that really pulls your energy down. If you're hard on yourself, if you don't love yourself, that'll really pull your energy down a lot. Things like holding a grudge. Angry. If you're easy to get angry, hatred. If you hate somebody, if somebody hates you, I think probably it's probably like you're creating these lines of, well, maybe they're, you would call it karmic ties or something like that, where you're attaching yourself to somebody in an unhealthy way. So I say, why is this important? Why is it important to know this stuff? When your energy is low, when your vibration's low, let me say the other side of this. If your energy is high and you've got good vibration, your physical body is working and is trying to work. All the systems in the body are trying to work together. Your respiratory system, the circulatory system, digestive system. When you throw in things like stress and tension, and you've all felt it before, I'm sure, but when you throw these kind of things in there, it throws your body off. And when you can get centered and balanced and let everything work like a fine-tuned engine, you feel better. You're better off physically, and there is no what you call disease. The lack of good health. Also, the maintenance of unrestricted energy flow promotes good physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health and well-being. And also, if you're centered and balanced and your vibration is up constantly or consistently, you're more likely to be aligned with your life's purpose. If you wonder what your life's purpose is and why you're not, I mean, in my own case, I've been at peace for a number of years now, and it feels great. And it feels great to just trust guidance and follow your path. And when you're centered and balanced, it's so much easier. You're not fighting yourself. The last thing is to be aware of the effect of energy that's good and not good and how it could impact you so that you make decisions when you interact with people and whatnot on what you're going to do based on what the energy result might be, how it might affect you energetically. And the last thing I want to say is you want to stay centered and balanced and at peace. You want to do that, have a practice daily. And I have 5 tips to try and do that as much as possible for yourselves. And the first thing is to love yourself. Love yourself. And I mean, and it's not just this beads and sandals kind of thing of love. It's really, seriously, love yourself. Look in the mirror every day and say, I love you, to yourself. And forgive yourself for anything that you feel that is a shortcoming. We're all here on earth. If we were all perfect, I don't think any of us would be here. So we all have imperfections. We're all a spark of God. And you're incapable of loving anyone more than you can love yourself. The next thing is forgiveness. When you have a problem forgiving, like I said about hatred or any of these emotions and making these ties, if you can't forgive, you're hurting yourself. It pulls your energy down. You give yourself the gift by forgiving somebody else. Let them walk their path. Don't make your path part of theirs. Don't bring yourself down to their level. Just forgive. The next thing is put away the phone, the tablet, the computer. Get away from the computer and give yourself the gift of quiet time, whether it be meditation, yoga, taking a walk in nature, 10 to 15 minutes minimum a day, but every day. And just connect. Connect to the Creator. Connect to your higher self. And number 4 is love and love intentions. Anything you do carries your energy. Carries your energy. So that means if you do everything that you do for anybody else, whether it be at work, in a relationship, do it with the intention of love. And think of your acts as your signature. It's something you're putting out that is a product of you, carries your love. Don't do it out of resentment or a sense of obligation, but think and do it out of love. And last is to practice energy awareness. Be aware, if you're getting into a contentious situation, and I used to do this a lot in the Navy because there were a lot of people with a lot of agendas. But I was a fairly senior officer. And before a meeting, I would send love into the room. And I'd just fill the room with love. And we'd be in some pretty contentious meetings, or that had the potential to be that way. And they would always go pretty smooth. I think I had something to do with it. It may not have, but I think that had something to do with it. And it's just to know that if you're going to be in a situation like that, that you can send love to the other person, or you can fill a room with love. You have that power. Last thing I'd like to say is, as a healer, it's up to the client to maintain the energy flow and the vibration that was restored when in working with the healer. And what we and when I work with my clients, my goal is to have them be restored in the near time, have their energy flow restored, but also talk to them about the kind of things that I've talked to you about tonight, so that they can do this on their own. It's not like I want to have people keep coming back to get a tune-up. I mean, it'd be great, but it's also great when you can go out and you can practice your own energy awareness. And what I've done is I've put a handout together that'll be right. Well, we can put on the piano here. And if what I was talking about, energy awareness and how important it is to you, it's up there also with the names of a couple of books by Barbara Brennan. And the last thing I'd like to do is to share something in the foreword, the first three lines of the foreword of Barbara Brennan's book, Healing Light, that she's writing to the energy healers who are going to be reading it. She says, "Love is the face and the body of the universe. It is the connective tissue of the universe, the stuff of which we are made. Love is the experience of being whole and connected to universal divinity. All suffering is caused by the illusion of separateness, which generates fear and self-hatred, which eventually causes illness. You are the master of your life. You can do much more than you thought you could, including cure yourself of a terminal illness." Thank you.
Well, he's not in the Navy anymore, is he? He's sure happy with what he's found. That's wonderful, Freddie. Okay.